Welcome back, friends. Today and for the next few episodes, Sarah and I are going to take up the concept of spring and baptism with the subtitle High Expectations. So just kind of in, we're now transgressing a little bit, or reviewing, that's a better word. We're reviewing a little bit of the winter concepts we had. And then we'll transition to spring. So we are now noting that the days are getting longer and warmer. So this would be from the winter time frame. We have made a decision of the type of garden we want to undertake, or gardens. Mine is an established raised bed. So there'll be a little bit more personal reflection, because it seemed to make it a little more sense that way. Mine's an established raised bed with enriched soil, fitted with irrigation, with a mixture of flowers and vegetables. I have roses and plumerias in pots. And we'll see that that's not where Mrs. Early started 40 some odd years ago. Location, location, location. So this is going back to my various earliest days. I planted a strawberry garden in San Diego as a novice alongside my house. It had great soil. There was a water irrigation, because San Diego doesn't get much water. You have to have irrigation, just like where I live here. And the weather was gorgeous, as we all know. However, there was very little sunshine. Hostas would have been a much better choice for that location. And but that's what we have with being novice, new at something. So now we're in spring. Our work has begun. We're in the process, perhaps, of removing stones, weeds, roots, and we were actually having this process not too long ago. It's hard. It's not, as if you will, as fun as winter, where you can just dream about things. Now we're actually having to bring things in to being. And often we need assistance. And if we really think honestly about it, there's no way to garden without an assistance. Some manure has to come from somewhere, or, you know, the seeds or the plants, that sort of thing. Building our structures, a box or a trellis, our boundary, delineating between what is your garden from the yard. And that was interesting. So the movement of the Holy Spirit. So how does this translate into baptism? With the movement of the Holy Spirit, an act. So here we are. We had the pondering of the Holy Spirit. We want to follow Christ. We had that movement. Now there's parts of action of both the intellect and will to follow His promptings. This leads to the desire to be baptized, that was a concrete action, and to impact this gift over time. Type of prayer to embrace. So maybe I'll stop there and then we can go on types of prayer.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were going through that, you know, the difference of, you know, potency and action between winter, that that goodness eventually has to be brought out into action. And how with the garden, you know, all of the dreams that you have, there's a goodness to the dreams insofar as there's a level of inspiration there. But if the garden stays in the book, right? You don't get that hard work of tilling the soil or pulling up the rocks or, you know, fertilizing the ground. It's hard to know whether or not you can actually articulate it as a good per se, right? I mean, it's a goodness, but it's not yet good. And that movement towards baptism, all of the goodness that comes in toward, you know, hoping for it without expecting it, you know, is there's an element there where God demands, in both instances, that our thoughts become actions. Really, realness or the tangibility of us as human beings, I think.
That's correct. That's nice. Yes, yes, yes. With our baptism, we'll find we will be led to different types of prayer to consider or to embrace. And it's a phrase I've used often. The church is a banquet. And it's really very wise just to approach it very slowly because there's so much to choose from. And an idea is that, you know, at different times of one's life, different aspects of prayer is going to seem more or less fitting. Same with the saints, same with the time that one chooses for prayer, all of that. So that's right. The big part is what is your state in life? And then you choose according to that. And yes, here's a quote from Sarah, grace builds on nature. So we look to nature. we look to our state in life.
To just put it in the mouth of the proper giver, that's, you know, Aquinas. It's a terrible, you know, paraphrase of Thomas Aquinas's.
Yes.
I do use that because I think that it gives us a real sense of, you know, why do we have a body? Why? And, you know, I was thinking as you were saying that, I was just thinking God gives the entire supply of grace that is necessary. You know, in the same way, you know, your backyard is sufficient for your garden, right? But you don't, in general, swallow the whole camel, right? You approach it in piecemeal. And so although everything is there supplied appropriately by our Lord, he does not anticipate that there's going to be a finished product immediately, right? It's a process through which we get to grow in humility, to grow in virtues, to grow in wisdom. You know, you think about the novice mistake that you made with your strawberries at the very beginning, because you know, right, you know the goodness of strawberries. And, you know, you're hoping to bring that about. And, you know, perhaps people know the goodness of prayer and they're hoping to bring that about. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And, you know, even though baptism supplies everything necessary, it doesn't mean that you are complete upon baptism. God is very merciful in letting you have a share in the growth of that goodness. And I think that that's kind of what a garden gives us too, is right, a recognition that we can have a share in the goodness of bringing beautiful things forth from the earth.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's sort of how my garden has evolved over time. In the beginning, maybe when there was a lot more mouths to feed, or maybe it was coming at it in a very, very traditional way, it had to have a produce. There had to be some sort of a benefit to the table. And a lot of people are there with their gardens, and that's a perfectly fine way to approach it. But at where I am right now with my garden, I just thoroughly enjoy watching how they develop over time. I'm very much of the mindset of our friend, Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, where he just was in awe. Maybe my awe is not as profound as his, but it's not trivial either to see just the bounty, the providence, and the power that God has instilled in something so simple as, you know, I don't know, Sweet William or yeah, Broccoli. So I just love watching the plants grow.
And the diversity, right? I mean, the amazing amount of uniqueness that springs forth, even, you know, down to when they're simple shoots. You know, they come forth from the earth and already a myriad of different colors and, you know, different textures, you know, there's the whole goodness there. And I do think that it is a really good analogy to, you know, that beginning of the garden when, you know, the soil is complete, it's there, it's ready to bring forth goodness, and all that it requires is the gardener.
It does. It requires the gardener. All right, my friends, in the next episode, we'll continue on this interweaving of spring and baptism. Till then, my friends, be dace, adoratio.